Lent for me causes a little bit of dread in the sense that it's such a challenge, I suppose, to my normal life that it's a season that, because it calls us to prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and self-denial, can be, for those of us who usually live our lives looking after our own comfort and pleasure, it's quite a challenge. And I suppose the traditions of Lent are, in that sense, always a bit of a danger of rebuke for me, I must say. But rather than saying rebuke, let's just say that it's a challenge.
Do you have any special memories or anecdotes concerning Ash Wednesday or indeed Lent? And also, can you tell us why you find it a moving and yet a solemn celebration?
I suppose the major memory for me of Ash Wednesday wouldn't be so much from my childhood, but a few years back I was chaplain in a school and we had a service of ashes. So you can imagine in the church 700 teenagers. And I gave a sermon on Ash Wednesday and made them realize, said to them that, today you are going to look very stupid. And of course, these young people would be most concerned about their appearance. And so they had to wander around town with ashes on their forehead. And in fact, they were delighted to hear that, in some sense, again, it was a challenge for them to look different, to something different in their lives. So for me, that would be one of the hallmarks of Ash Wednesday, that memory. And this concrete symbol of difference, that something different is about to happen. And Ash Wednesday, therefore, I suppose, calls Lent into being in that sense that because it's so different, because it's so concrete with the ashes on the forehead, all its symbolism, all its challenge to look different, to be different, to not look your best that day, but to think of something else is really a symbol of exactly what Lent is all about.
Now, in his Lenten message for this year, Pope Benedict focuses on charity particularly, and it has as its theme this message, "Let us be concerned for each other to stir a response in love and good works." How thought-provoking did you find this papal message?
I thought, again, precisely the word challenge is exactly what this message is about. At one stage in the message, the Pope speaks about an aspect of charity being fraternal correction in the spiritual life of the Christian. And the message is really taken in its entirety. It's absolutely a fraternal correction by the Pope of Christians in general. I think it's very much classic Pope Benedict in the sense that it's absolutely sterling. It's sterling steel in its message. And at the same time presented very beautifully, very thought-provokingly in various ways. But that aspect of fraternal correction, and at the end he speaks about the high standard, calling to live Christianity to a high standard. It's really, I think, quite revolutionary in its sense that it's the same quiet revolution that the Pope is always working towards in his messages.
Coming back to this issue of fraternal correction or not being afraid to admonish other Christians who are committing a sin, the Pope says he believes that this fraternal correction is an aspect of Christian life that's been quite forgotten. Would you agree? And if so, what are the reasons for this?
I would certainly think it's been quite forgotten. And I'd say, especially from my own point of view, coming from an Irish point of view, where our Christianity tends to be quiet and prayerful and, in that sense, individual, most especially, I think, in our culture. But the Pope says that it's certainly a universal problem in the universal church, that we either are too caught up in ourselves or we're just too adapted to modern society to really see that there's a problem there. But what he also points to, and what's very interesting, is that he brings in the whole dimension of holiness, that Benedict has this vision of God. And you can see, I think, not to speak too much in depth about the Pope's own spiritual life himself, but he seems certainly to be a man who has himself had that conversion. And he wants to call others to conversion with it. So I think the problem is real, and the antidote that he gives is quite surprising, this call to fraternal correction and to encourage each other in the path to the search for holiness.
He also, of course, talks at quite length about urging the faithful to be concerned for one another and not to remain isolated and indifferent to the fate of others. Do you think we tend to be less concerned about others now because of the strong emphasis on individualism in our society today?
Sure. Well, individualism is, of course, to an extent, one of the great enemies that the Pope has set out during his entire pontificate to combat. And I think, speaking of for example, of his speech to the German Parliament, his famous speech last year, where he spoke about Europe living in a bunker, people living in a place without windows and without light. And really, that's because we're so closed in on ourselves. And this is what the Pope is warning against in this letter, in this message, is the whole idea of becoming too closed in on ourselves. Even when we're good Christians and we go to church, still to take on that extra dimension of looking outside. First of all, he says, he uses that phrase of looking towards, of thinking about, from the letter to the Hebrews. First of all, applied to Christ, that we consider, we think about Christ, and then to go on to think about our neighbours too. But again, it's that whole idea of looking outwards from ourselves.
And also when it comes to this concern for others, the Pope says it isn't just for their physical well-being, but also their moral and spiritual well-being. I mean, because it's easier to focus in a sense on the first, you know, if you see somebody who's suffering from hunger, blatant poverty, it's easier to do that. And yet there's not so much, there's a reluctance, isn't there, to tackle the last two aspects.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose it goes with the fact that the primary sense in Christians is the sense of sight, that what we can see becomes very concrete to us, and what we can only perceive instinctively or spiritually remains secondary or outside in comparison to what we can see. So the physical is always primary for us. The Pope, I suppose, reminds us that in fact the spiritual is the more important, because it's what carries over into the next life. It's what really forms also the leaven in this life too. And I suppose when you think of St. John's Gospel in the fifth chapter there, Jesus heals a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years. And then he says to him, don't sin or something worse might happen to you, as if to say that serious sin is even worse than paralysis. So the Pope as well, along those lines, I think, is reminding us really that the spiritual life is the golden rod inside us that we have to care for and develop, even in primacy to the physical and the material.
Now, if I could ask you a personal question, what are you giving up for Lent?
Well, once upon a time, when I was at home, we asked my father that, and he said, my left hand shall not know what my right hand is doing. Of course, we all laughed because that was an excuse for doing nothing at all, as far as we were concerned. So what will I give up for Lent? I will try and break my addiction to my morning coffee. And as well as that, I'll give up chocolate. But that's fairly easy for me because I haven't come across a lot of good chocolate in recent times. But I think the trying to give up the coffee will be quite a test enough for me, and I can say here and now that I'll probably fail.